This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. President Barack Obama expressed outrage this afternoon at the ongoing oil catastrophe in the Gulf. But engineers also expressed cautious optimism that the top kill effort to plug the gushing well may be working, even though most experts also now agree that the amount of oil spilling into the Gulf is many times worse than BP ever estimated. A little later this hour, we'll talk to an MIT student whose new aerial photos of the Gulf show just how far the oil spill has spread. Also later, we need oil to manufacture plastic, but do we really need BPA too? We'll look into the new concern over chemicals in plastic in Massachusetts. But right now, amidst all this sobering news, that sound you're hearing, that sound is music to the ears of parents and students in Cambridge, as Harvard Yard is stuffed to the gates at the moment with graduates in crimson robes for Harvard's 359th commencement ceremony. The headliner is a man who definitely knows how to wear a robe, retired Supreme Court Justice David Souter. He'll take the podium in just a few minutes, but we sent WBUR's Sonari Glinton to Harvard Yard to talk to the young men and women wearing those mortar boards.
Thanks, Meghna. As you know, it's a long day of commencement exercises here at Harvard Square. I'm going to try to grab some graduates between ceremonies to see if any of them plan on sticking around the Boston area.
Annie Austin?
So do you see yourself sticking around the Boston-Cambridge area?
There's Boston, and then there's palm trees elsewhere.
Graham Infinger. Boston, I mean, it's a great place to start. There's so many young people, so many colleges, and Cambridge is a very vibrant place.
Jacob Kubian. I will not be in Boston at all. I'll be in California probably.
Why not stay? Why no love for the Boston area?
The lifestyle is very different, a.k.a. superior.
Is there anything that could keep you guys here?
Global warming.
Global warming, really? And people complaining about the weather? On a day like this, you could actually grow palm trees in Boston, the weather we've been having this week. But anyway, for whatever reason, the Boston area seems to have a chronic problem keeping its elite college graduates here and keeping them contributing to the economic and intellectual life of the city well into their adulthood. So listeners, are you graduating this year? Are you staying in Boston or heading out? We'd love to know. So give us a call right now at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Find us also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Now, it seems to us at Radio Boston that this commencement season could be a little different because a growing body of data indicates the Massachusetts economy is rebounding faster than the nation as a whole. So, assuming that these grads want jobs, could this be the year that Boston plugs its brain drain? Our own Adam Ragusea went to Boston University's recent commencement to find out.
Boston University, proud with mission shore.
U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder didn't go to BU. So when he was on stage to deliver the commencement address, he didn't sing along to this. But that didn't stop him from hitting some nice notes.
No matter what your path, you must always remember the enormous investment that has been made in you, not only by your families, but also by our society.
Now, Boston society unquestionably benefits from the presence of so many college students, but it also endures many expenses, inconveniences, and occasional indignities. So it's not surprising that the village elders expect their own return on that investment Holder is talking about. They expect Katie Davidoff to stick around for a while.
Can I ask what you just graduated with?
A degree in biology.
Biology. Brilliant. So she's headed straight to Longwood to tinker with test tubes, right?
I am moving in 3 weeks to Maryland to work at the National Institutes of Health doing research.
What? How'd that happen?
I think I actually, Googled something about doing research and the NIH came up.
Where are you from?
I'm from Holliston, Massachusetts.
Oh, so you're a native?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Katie's proud dad, Jeff, chiming in the background there.
I mean, I guess it's surprising that you weren't able to find some sort of biomedical research closer to home.
Didn't really look.
This was a planned escape.
I think I was kind of itching to get away for a little bit since I did grow up around here. So plan B was Boston, definitely. But this NIH worked out, so I'm moving.
Keeping the light of knowledge.
Okay, well, that one got away. But plenty other fish in the sea, right? Brilliant kids from all over the world come to Boston every year for the education and end up falling in love with it. Tell him, Eric Holder.
So many of you have ventured into the community before even setting foot in the classroom. You became citizens of Boston first, citizens of Boston University second. Whether through the first-year student outreach program or during the global day of service, you helped to build a better city.
Excuse me. Hi. What you got there?
That I want on record, maybe.
I spotted Janelle Cavava and her friends Mike Moore and Karen Steinbrecher in their caps and gowns drinking $7 champagne out of black plastic bags.
So we're celebrating. Would you like some?
I would love some, but I'm on the job, so.
Mike is from Connecticut. Karen and Janelle are from New Jersey. None of them have jobs lined up yet. None of them know where they're going, but they know they're not staying here either.
I mean, Boston's great, but we've been here for four years.
Like, our generation is not the same as our parents' generation, where they get married and they settle down, they live in their hometown where they grew up. We are people that have seen the world. We're so exposed to everything that we just want to see the rest of the world. You know, like,
and it's hard for older generations to understand that.
Well, speaking of that older generation, I mean, it's like a lot of the people who are in charge of this town focus a lot of time and energy trying to figure out ways to retain people like you here in the city when you graduate. Is there anything they could do that would be effective?
There's not much they can do. It's our generation that's going to be like, it's time for a change, you know? Like, that's why a lot of our friends are going to New York City right now. That's where they're looking to go.
Yeah, this is like a starter city, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree.
It trains you to live in other cities.
Boston is a starter city? Ouch.
Good luck and congratulations to all of you.
Yeah, ouch indeed. That's from Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea. So, graduates, is Boston the Alston condo you live in before you get that 3-bedroom in Wellesley or Los Angeles or New York or anywhere else for that matter? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining me now in the studio is Alicia Sasser. She's a proud graduate of the BU class of 93 and now a senior economist in the New England Public Policy Center at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. So she stuck around. She's also the author of a report called The Future of the Skilled Labor Force in New England, The Supply of Recent College Graduates. Alicia Sasser, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great, thank you.
Last time you looked at these numbers was a little while ago, but 2 years ago, I believe. But at that time, how did the region compare to others? How did the Boston region compare to other places in terms of our retention rate of college graduates?
Well, it's interesting to hear the comments of these college graduates as they're getting their degrees because they really reflect exactly what's in the data. So interestingly, we do a pretty good job of retaining recent college graduates. About 60% of our graduates are still here 1 year after graduation. And interestingly, because we're a big net importer of students, we actually are boosting sort of our population of recent college grads because a fair number of folks do stick around. But compared to other places, we're lagging behind in terms of retention. So, for example, New York retains about 70% of their recent college graduates, and California, no big surprise, 84% of their recent college graduates are still there 1 year after graduation.
So are we losing students who have come into the state, as you mentioned, or is it also Massachusetts natives of those, that 40% that doesn't stay, are they also leaving?
Yeah, mostly it's a story about the non-native students. So about 80% of our native students do stay in the state. So if you grew up in Massachusetts, went to college in Massachusetts, chances are you're staying here, unlike that one woman who found her job in Maryland. It's really a story about the non-native graduates. So we import about half of our freshman class each year. And of those non-native students, only 30% of them stay after graduation. And that's certainly a lot less than other states like California, who keep about 50% of their non-native graduates.
Oh, really? Let's get a couple calls in here because we've got people who want to chime in on this. Ursula's calling from Harwich. Welcome to Radio Boston, Ursula.
Thank you for taking my call.
What's your thought today?
Thank you. I just wanted to reiterate what your guest just said, in that in focusing on those students who aren't from Massachusetts or the Boston area in general, they may be leaving at a higher rate. But I do. I teach at the University of Massachusetts Boston, and our retention rate is quite high, as is obviously, at other state universities and colleges.
Now, Ursula, let me ask you about that. Do you think it's because those students already have roots and family members here, and also maybe they're just more plugged into the opportunities that await them after college because they've kind of been exposed to them for a long time?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I think students go to get an education where they think they can get the best education or can afford an education, and then they build their lives where they think they're going to be most comfortable, or in this day and age where they actually have a job opportunity. But other students, especially those who are within the community and are studying at state colleges and universities, they're committed to giving back to the community at a very high rate.
Ursula, thank you so much for your call. Alicia Sasser from the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston here. Is there something that we can learn from the examples that Ursula brings up at UMass Boston that maybe businesses or even other colleges can do more outreach to keep students plugged into the opportunities that await them beyond their 4 years here?
Absolutely. She hit on a key finding of ours, which is that if you look at national survey data, which asks people why they moved a year after they have actually migrated, you find that recent college grads primarily move for job-related reasons. About 40% of them say they moved to take a job somewhere. Less than 2% of them move for things like housing costs or cost of living. So really, it's a story about jobs. And if you're a recent college grad, wherever you find that first job, that's where you're going to go. And certainly, non-native students are less plugged into the opportunities here. And a survey in Central Massachusetts found that non-native students who either had a working experience off campus or an internship were more likely to stay than those that didn't.
So are you're doing something to help those non-native students find jobs here in Massachusetts?
That's right. So the Boston Fed teamed up with the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce to undertake an initiative to extend internship opportunities and make students more aware of the local job opportunities right in their backyard. So a few things we've done so far is we've had a workshop for employers and colleges to teach them how to make their internships more effective. We've also held events for interns that are here in the summer in the city to tell them how to get the most out of their internship experience and turn that into a full-time job. And finally, we're in the process of setting up an online job clearinghouse for internships. So there's a central place in the city for students and employers to come together and exchange opportunities and information.
Let's sneak another call in here. Evan's calling from Northeastern University. Hey, Evan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to add that I agree completely with what an earlier caller said about job opportunities being a major factor. I'm going to finish up at Northeastern University in a few months. I grew up in Philadelphia. I still have plenty of strong ties back here and there as well. But in my mind, the only thing that's going to make a difference for where I live after college is where I can find employment.
Mm-hmm. Evan, thanks so much for your call. And Alicia Sasser, that just kind of leads me to a last question here. We heard jobs is obviously very important, but in a globalized age and also with young people who are kind of globalized thinkers themselves, should we really expect them to stay in the same place that they went to college when opportunities really await them around the world?
Well, I think that's really the challenge for Boston. I think for many generations, we were very complacent. We had a lot of recent college grads right in our backyard to pick from. And now we're in a much more global environment where students and employers are moving around. And we really have to compete for those graduates, particularly from those really top institutions that we have here. And I think one thing that's helping us right now that you touched upon in the beginning is that we certainly have stronger job growth than other cities right now. Our unemployment rate is only 8.3% in Boston compared to almost 10% nationally. Mm-hmm. And the online jobs rate is up as well. So we do have a certain advantage in terms of the opportunities here. But really, if we don't make those college graduates aware of those opportunities, then it doesn't matter how many jobs we grow.
So marketing those advantages is the key right now.
Absolutely.
Well, that's Alicia Sasser. She's senior economist at the New England Public Policy Center at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. Alicia, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
We've got to take a quick break, but when we come back...
So if Connecticut can do it by 2011, certainly Massachusetts can do it.
And that's banning BPA, that is. So does the chemical in plastic food and beverage containers cause cancer? And if so, what to do about it? We'll talk to Dr. Jerome Groopman about the plastic problem. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.